This recording, Arizona 5, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old Sioux in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. That goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Coma, Coma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was a strong and was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis almost immediately. She remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, I lived in Mexico until I was 7 years old, and when I turned 7, I remember my father saying, "Okay, we're going to move to the U.S. because I want my kids to learn English." We moved to Yuma, Arizona, and I went into an elementary that I still remember the name, Pecan Grove. I was very scared because I didn't know any English, but actually it wasn't that bad because all my professors were Hispanic. The kids were Hispanic too, and so I didn't have to speak English but until fourth grade, because in fourth grade was the first time I ever got an American professor, and her name was Mrs. Taylor, and that's when I had to start speaking English. I remember I used to sit all the way in the back of class because I was so embarrassed, because I didn't want to like her to pick on me to read. I never forget a moment where she was teaching us English, and she wrote on the board chocolate, and I was so confused because I was like, it says chocolate and it's spelled the same way as in English, and I couldn't, and it was bugging me that it was just pronounced different. And then after Mrs. Taylor, once again, I started having Hispanic professors, and then all throughout middle school as well, actually. Yuma, Arizona has a large population of Hispanic. And when I went to high school, in Cibola High School, again, I had more American professors. And that's when I officially began to speak English in my freshman year of high school. So it's been pretty interesting. I don't hear my accent, but everybody else does. And now here at ASU, once I began theater, that's when it just really, like, I noticed how much of an impact my accent can actually have, because just in auditions and doing monologues, I've heard both. I've heard pros and cons of me having an accent for different roles. There's roles that I cannot do just because of my accent, or I can do, but I just need to work on it. I'm in a play right now for Bocón. I'm not sure if maybe my accent is what influenced my director to choose me. But I'm really excited to be in Bukwang. It's bilingual, and my family are going to come watch it. And my family don't speak any English, so they're pretty excited because they'll be able to understand some of it. I dream in Spanish. It's funny because I actually just had a dream yesterday, and it was in Spanish. All my dreams that I've had, I don't remember any of them being in English. That's an interesting question. Okay, well, el día de pavo, todos nos juntamos con mi abuelita. Es difícil para mí comer con ellos porque soy vegetariana, no como carne, no como animal, así que me da tristeza por mi abuelita porque siempre hace muy, muy buena comida, pero nunca la puedo comer porque todo tiene carne y a veces sí se pone triste ella porque dice, ay, mija, ¿no quieres comer mi comida? Y le digo, no, abuelita, no quiera comer su comida, sino que no como carne, pero ella ya está viejita y ella no entiende o se le olvida. So, siempre soy la única en el día del pavo o cualquier otro día que estoy comiendo ensalada o estoy comiendo hasta cereal.